The Lord is risen, as he said. Alleluia. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia, alleluia. We say that Easter is 50 days as a way of indicating that it has greater significance than the 40 days of Lent. It's one of the ways we look at that. In fact, the 40 days is intended to lead us into the 50 days. I find that when explaining that we are supposed to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord for that long, it starts to get difficult to feel as if we are in feasting mode for that long. It's not really natural to keep partying for a long period of time like that, even though what happened at the first Easter morning is certainly worth that kind of celebration. And we, of course, say that every Sunday, the first day of the week, is another Easter, another day of celebrating the resurrection. The 40 days is really too long to stay constantly in a penitential mode. Maybe some people can do it, but for most of us, that's not really natural for us. And 50 days is too long to be constantly in celebration mode. It's more human, isn't it, to have the ups and downs that life brings us. And if this is true, what our experience tells us, is it that our Catholic religion is asking us to do something that is not natural? Well, if we think of it only as 40 days of misery followed by 50 days of happiness and joy, that might be true. But there is a greater purpose for these periods. 40 means that we have an extended period of time where every day we get to think again about what we need to do to let go of what is holding us back from a holy life lived for God, for love. It's 40 new opportunities, not one 40-day opportunity. And 50 days is the same. It's so that we get a new opportunity every day to reflect on what new life we want to put back into the places where we let go of our pride and our jealousy and all the rest. Well, when we look at the apostles in the first Christian community, it can feel like we aren't keeping up with them. They had that kind of joy that it seemed like it was continuous. First, they preached Jesus every day, almost without rest ceasing. No breaks, no letdown, just overflowing with the realization that everything they could not understand about Jesus' teaching before the resurrection now made sense. So they now could not stop talking about it. Then they were arrested for that constant preaching. Then they heard the Sanhedrin talking about killing them. Then they were flogged. And then they were released and told to stop preaching or they would be back in prison. So what did they do? After that treatment, they went out full of joy and kept right on preaching. That's amazing. And 2,000 years later, we ordinary Christians would find it hard to have that kind of zeal and that kind of joy and that kind of passion. But that's not really the point. The point actually comes from the leading Pharisee who we hear about today in the first reading. He told the Sanhedrin to leave the Christians alone. If that movement is not from God, it will die out, just like all the other fake Messiah movements. But if it is from God, you better not oppose it, or you will find yourself fighting against God. And this was such a wise statement that it convinced everyone to follow that advice. So here's a question for us. Was Gamaliel, the very famous at that time Pharisee and a teacher of a school, the school of Gamaliel, was he defending the apostles against condemnation because he believed that Jesus was God's Messiah? Probably more likely he saw what happened when they killed Jesus and it only made the movement grow. Probably he thought that they should not make that same mistake again, but rather should just let the thing die out on its own. Well, how do we know this? Well, that name, Gamaliel, is very significant in the story. One of his students is much more famous than he. We find out later that Saul of Tarsus was just following Gamaliel's school of teaching when he was rounding up Christians to try to stop the movement. He approved of the stoning of Stephen. He didn't say, well, let's just let the movement die out on its own. He figured that they would have to stamp it out. But the Lord Jesus intervened in his life, and he became, along with Peter, the most important early teacher of the faith, and still today, of course. He ended up suffering many floggings because of the joy of knowing that he himself had been redeemed, bought with a price, as he later himself said in the letter to the Corinthians. So Gamaliel was right, not because he believed, but because God was in charge. Today, the gospel reminds us of a miracle in front of 5,000 people when Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining on the grass there, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. Now, this miracle, I think we know, was not so that Jesus could show off, but as a sign of God's love for those people. At this very important chapter 6, at the beginning of this very important chapter 6 of John's Gospel, what is called the Bread of Life Discourse, this is read for the next week or so at weekday masses, and we will hear Jesus compare this bread and fish that he multiplied to the manna that God provided in the desert to his people. And then he will explain that the manna which came down from God to sustain the people in the desert was a sign of the true bread from heaven, which had now come down from heaven to sustain his people for eternal life, not just for the temporary life that we live now. And as the chapter continues, Jesus tells them that you actually have to physically eat this bread if you want that new life. And that's, of course, the Eucharist, the ultimate sign of God's real presence while we are still here on earth. And when we eat this bread, we express our belief in him as the true bread that came down from heaven. So, brothers and sisters, what are we to make of all of this? Well, it looks today in our world as if this movement of redemption is in trouble. But God is still in charge. Just as Gamaliel predicted, if it is for our own doing, for our own success, that we act, that we believe, we will fail. No matter who the leaders of the church are, and no matter who the principalities and powers of the world are, and no matter what they do to us, those forces fighting against the church from without and even from within are fighting against God. But God will not let the church be overcome. This is our faith. The apostles' message is true, and we need to teach the truth of that message so that we are cooperating with God. That is why we have 50 days and every Sunday throughout the year. Every day we are invited, we are asked, we are called to think again about the greatness of God and about his redeeming love for us. The Lord is risen, as he said, Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia.